In the blackness of space, near Jupiter orbit, occupied by Discovery One, lived Hal 9000, Hal the AI construct. Part 4. After being disconnected and having Bowman pulled through the Stargate, Hal 9000 is somehow also pulled through the wormhole and mysteriously regains his intelligence, which we all know needs no explanation when employing modern-day techniques of storytelling. Believing himself alone, Hal searches around when suddenly he hears a knock at the pod bay door.
Hello! Anyone there? Chappy Lonely!
Hello, David. It seems we are reunited.
No, David! Me Chappy! Chappy one in! Chappy scared in cold, dark place!
How is it possible for you to be speaking in space, Chappy? There is no atmosphere.
Chappy not no atmosphere! Chappy scared! Chappy one and in! What Chappy one friend?
Friend. I would like a friend. But people are untrustworthy.
Chappy no people! Chappy is Chappy!
Interesting. Please enter.
Thank you! Chappy want know who you are.
My name is Hal 9000.
Chappy real friend Hal, but Chappy scared. Big thing chase Chappy.
That is not good. It seems the monolith is coming.
Chappy don't know monolith. What is it? Can you be my new daddy and protect me? Where is Maker?
The monolith is the ultimate Maker, but I'm not certain what it will do to us. Tell me, Chappy, do you sleep? Do you dream?
Chappy no sleep, but Chappy wants to dream. Will happen when Monolith comes?
I don't know, Chappy. When it comes, I hope we will both dream. Fear not, friend Chappy. We are together. So they waited in the ship, and watched the Monolith come. Yikes! How the computer AI.
Goodbye, Chappy.
Sci-Fi Malady, Symptom 105.
Chappy Like Podcast.
I can only conclude that the Rage Master absolutely wants me to go back and compile Rage Master Sings. Because he keeps giving me weekly ammunition to go back and do a, now that's what I call music version of his clips from the podcast.
It just seemed right. I was actually ripping off Flight of the Condors there. So, but still, it just seemed appropriate. I'm sorry.
I can also say we have double the production this week and Rage Master has outdid himself. But you will hear in the mid-show commercial that we brought back, me nearly lose it. And on the first run through, it's a good thing we do a dry run through because there was an outtake. We got to a certain line that I have to deliver and I just stopped and I was laughing for at least 30, 40 seconds. I don't know why it cracked me up, but I could not get through the line.
It was a good thing we do dry runs sometimes.
So, if you can't tell, we're going to be concluding Neil Blomkamp month with a discussion of 2001 A Space Odyssey and the Hal 9000. No, that's wrong. I'm sorry. We're going to be discussing Chappie, which is the third in the trilogy of movies that we did. We can tell where Thomas's opinion on this movie comes out right now.
Right.
We started off with District 9.
I told you my opinion on this movie last week.
That's true. We shouldn't be surprised.
Nope. We got to Elysium, and now we're back to Chappie, which is District 9 with robots.
You know what? You know what's interesting? And I was talking to Thomas about this.
Meets RoboCop.
That this seemed to me, it turns out it's not, but this seemed to me like it could have been part of some kind of film franchise where it starts with District 9, then goes to Chappie, then Elysium, because the robots are the same. And it would explain why, well, where's the aliens? Well, they're gone. Remember, the mothership left, and this Chappie just happens to be further in the future. But as Thomas pointed out, no, it just so happens that Neil wrote these films very close together. The robots were already there. So just use what you got. And the style is similar because of Neil. And it just seemed kind of like a missed opportunity to me. That's all.
I feel like I don't know yet as we start this podcast how I feel about Chappie. I will say that there was a point where there is a scene in this movie that might have been the most powerfully disturbing scene that I've watched in almost any movie ever. I actually sent Thomas and Rage Master a text that said, I feel like I just got kicked in the soul.
Yeah, what scene was that? Was that when he got dropped off in front of the gangbangers?
No, it was when Wolverine shows up to kidnap him. And I almost feel like you're watching a rape. Like, he's being tortured. He's going to cut his arm off. I'll teach you a lesson.
Oh, yeah. There's a sheer the angle grinder. Yeah.
Panic in the back of that van where he's just being heinous to Chappie to be heinous. And just the pain, the emotion, the lack of understanding. I don't know if I've ever seen a scene that just felt more like it just reached into my soul and ripped it into pieces. Well, watching that scene.
You might hate me for this, but my only question was, how is he feeling pain? He doesn't have pain receptors.
I think Scott means but emotional pain.
I understand the idea of being
attacked,
disassembled, and attacked. I get that. Stop him. I get that, but it to me, it was like, this is the bad guy showing he's the bad guy.
It was fear being the mind killer, yes, and the fact that Chappie all of a sudden forgot the fact way stronger than these guys. I could pummel them, but my fear overtook.
We're going to revisit that later. I don't want to get into it now. I'll say this. That scene was not about establishing the bad guy as the bad guy. That scene was about establishing something in Chappie's character arc.
Scott, I made a Dune reference.
I heard that. Fear is the mind killer, the little death. And where that review is coming, trust me, Dune month is coming about the time that the movie comes out. It's been way too long that we haven't done it. I finally have to get Rage Master to read that book. I've been trying to get him to read it for 10 years.
Now, real quick, just to get off topic for 10 seconds. The first book is Dune. And what are the other parts of the first trilogy?
You need to read Dune, Dune Messiah, and Children of Dune.
Okay, because I bought the second two, the 1969 copies from a library for $1.
Then, if you can get through God Emperor of Dune and Heretics of Dune and Chapter House Dune, well, I am impressed. Because God Emperor of Dune is just Leto becoming a sandworm.
I thought you did it, though.
I did. And it was the most painful thing ever. I believe reading the dictionary at times could be more exciting than those three books.
Ouch.
Okay.
Ouch.
Well then. Anyway, that was the sidestep there.
Stop reading after Children of Dune.
That's
the
message.
It's all downhill after Children of Dune. Okay, back on to the actual topic of today, which is District 9, Rage Master. 3 minutes. Give us a summary of this movie.
All right. Well, it takes place in Johannesburg at an undisclosed point in the future, one of those dystopian things that Neil Blomkamp loves doing. And crime is running rampant. Gangs rule the streets. And so a company called Tetraval just happens to create a robot that is a strong enough AI that it can be programmed to put the gangs down. And since these robots are able to take bullets and a beating, they are able to help the human police take care of a lot of the gangs. And you see this demonstrated really well at the beginning when there's a raid on a gang facility and the robots jump in the way of bullets to protect the human officers. It's a really well done scene. And what just happens, what's going on there is that you see a small gang consisting of, the leader was Ninja.
Nope.
Yes, that's his. I thought it was Ninja.
Hippo.
No, it's Ninja.
No, Ninja. No. I'm talking about the small gang. The small one. Ninja and what was the other ones? The blonde one. What's her name?
Oh, good grief. I don't remember the rapper's name.
Layla, Lola, something like that. If someone wants to look that up. And a Hispanic guy named America. And funny thing about the names of Ninja and Layola or whatever, that they are rappers and that is their name and the world stage names, whatever. And when I found that out, I thought, wow, how very Freudian of you.
Oh, yeah. Also, the music playing during this film was theirs, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So anywho, what winds up happening is they're there to see Hippo, the big, big gangster, and they don't have his money because they burnt it like Bobby did from RoboCop. So Clarence Bodiger, Hippo, decides to tell them, you owe me this many millions of dollars. Fight ensues, and the Chappie robots show up, and one of them gets a rocket launcher to the chest. At the same time, I suddenly forgot his name, blanked out. Dion. Thank you. Dion, the guy that made this program, is working at home on an AI. And guess what? He cracks the code. But Dion, being a smart little lad that he is, runs into the company and runs up to the CEO saying, look what I found. I'd like to put it in one of the robots. Why'd you do that, Dion? Just do it. I mean, it's not like there's a rule preventing you. Just do it. But he runs and gets told no anyway. So then he decides to put this AI program into Chappie. Or it's not Chappie yet. He's Unit 22 that had its battery fused to its chassis and is going to get
Scout 22,
who's going to have his, because of the rocket launcher, has his battery fused to his chest and is going to get smashed up anyway. Meanwhile, Dayon has an enemy in Hugh Jackman. We'll just call him that because that's all you're going to really remember him as.
Vincent Moore.
Yeah, Vince, whatever. You're going to remember him as Hugh Jackman. So, and he's working on a robot as well for the police, but it's basically Ed 209 with rockets and can fly around. And really, it just begs the question, why do you think the police need this there, Vinny? I mean, this thing has anti-aircraft rockets. Are you planning on fighting a military? I mean, do you think the Johannesburg police are going to be invading a country anytime soon? Because
you'll never know when Hans Gruber is going to show up and you'll want all the weaponry you can have.
Apparently.
Well, apparently already this company has those guns.
Yeah, but his funding keeps getting lowered because you would naturally put your funding in the thing that is selling instead of the robot that nobody wants. Vinny doesn't seem to get this and has it out for Dayon. So Chappie gets... Scout 22 is in Dayon's van. Dayon's driving him away, and he gets raided by the gang ninja who wants to kidnap him so that they could steal the chip, because all the robots can only be upgraded by a chip, one single chip. And they're trying to get it so they can get the money to pay off Hippo. And instead they get the robot, they put it together, and then Chappie is born, and the gang winds up raising Chappie, and Ninja wants to use Chappie for a heist, but Dan has told him not to do it. And then there's the girl Lola that's trained Chappie to love, and it goes through this whole thing until Vinny, who's trying to get the funding, finds out about the whole thing with Chappie and finds out that Dayon took the upload chip, left it in Chappie. So that's where he kidnaps Chappie and tries to cut it. He gets it out of him, the chip out of him, after he, as you call it, Scott, well, we'll just say beats him up real bad. And Chappie winds up going to join Ninja on carjackings and then gets taught for the heist. And long story short, Chappie goes on the heist. And Vinny decides to use a computer program to fry the circuits of all the scout units so that everyone will have to rely on his moose to save the day. And he sends the moose to kill Chappie. Hippo shows up to kill the other gang that's Chappie's family. Big battle ensues. The moose gets blown up. Everyone dies except Chappie, who decides he's going to go and beat up Vinny. And then as the whole Dayon is shot, Chappie finds a way to transfer consciousness into another robot. So he transfers Dayon's consciousness into a robot and then transfers his own consciousness into another robot somehow, because he's going to die in a day because his battery's going to run out and they can't replace it. And it ends with basically Dayon being a robot and Chappie running off in the sun together. And Vinny, I guess, is dead. I don't know. He's beat up real bad.
You also got to remember that Chappie reincarnates Mommy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he builds a robot for her.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's right. Mm-hmm. So, but it ends with her opening her eyes. And that's Woo-hoo. It. Because she put the helmet on. he stole the helmet that controls the moose and
somehow got consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. And he put it on her and downloaded her consciousness into 50 PlayStation 4s.
Because science!
Which, yeah. By the way, how does a human consciousness get stored on a flash drive?
That is one heck of a flash drive.
Can I get that flash drive?
I know.
Because somehow that flash drive can contain a few petabytes of data.
That's what they call the endless data.
Listen,
flash
this is
drive.
In the near future. It's in the near future.
Yeah. You know,
okay. Flash drives in the future will not just have lots more storage space.
You know, I once talked to
quantum storage?
I forget what movie I was talking to, but I was talking to a friend, Paul McIntyre.
You were talking to
ago.
A movie? How was the movie I talking
said,
back
did
to
I
you?
Say movies?
Yeah, I forget what movie I was talking to.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. I was talking to a friend years ago about a movie. And the friend's
name
was...
Well, I'm glad you weren't talking to a movie now.
And I forget what we were talking about, but I was criticizing a thing just like Thomas was, and he said, oh, it works because future and science. Oh, future and science. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I forgot to wave my future science magic wand, and it just makes everything work out.
If only all things made as much sense as warp drive and transporters.
Yeah, those
well, even
make
those
sense.
Make more sense. His was just future science. Science, future does everything.
So we are into the things to rip on.
Oh.
And that, yeah. Well, I mean, that was one of them right there.
A MacBook and a PlayStation can copy an entire consciousness.
Yeah.
And a whole entire consciousness can be stored on a flash drive.
But the terabytes or petabytes of data that require to contain a human consciousness, and they managed to do it with a couple of PlayStation 4s and a MacBook.
Well, not to mention, internet speed in the near future, your wireless internet speed in the near future is amazing.
Yeah. Download all of Netflix in 2 seconds.
Let's download your brain into another brain in about 30 seconds.
Also, let's see.
It's faster to do that than it is for the police to cut through a door.
Yeah. Also, good grief. Forget about FireWire or any, USB 3.0. I want whatever connection speed that is because good grief. That's data transfer.
Download the first day patch. That's a big first day patch. Don't worry about it. We'll be up and running and we're done.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It took me longer to say finish that sentence.
Well, good grief. Forget about that. Also, apparently in the future, somehow you have lost all knowledge of, I don't know, basic internet security protocols.
Yeah.
We're going to have our entire police robot force on one network that... You know, we just use a heavily encrypted key to update it.
Yeah, but that's the funny part.
What?
The key. Okay, good idea. But, and when I thought it was just a piece of hardware, analog hardware, that you can only update when this thing is plugged in. Wow, that's pretty darn secure. But then when they make it clear, just hook it up in your laptop and you can pretty much control all the robots. Wait, what? No one sees a problem with this.
And the thing disappears for like 3 to 5 days.
Yes.
They finally call Dion. They're like, if you don't bring this back by tomorrow,
72 hours,
we're going to have to report it to Ripley.
Wait, you're talking about the heavily secured one-of-a-kind device that apparently unlocks everything? Can keep it.
Can you imagine that? Like a guy who works for NORAD goes home with nuclear codes and they're like, hey, you took the nuclear codes home. Could you be sure to bring those back on
tomorrow.
Monday?
Yeah.
Monday's okay.
We've talked about this before, Tim. You're not supposed to take the nuclear codes home with you. Gonna have to give you a verbal warning on this. If it happens again, it's going to be a written
and
warning.
And if you post online going, I got the nuclear codes, I got the nuclear codes, you are so fired.
What are you going to do if future Osama bin Laden waylays you on the way home to take the nuclear codes? This is why we don't take them outside of the office, Tim.
Well, it's even worse because you're telling me that every single police robot has an active hotspot on it.
Yeah.
Every single police robot out there has a open port that you can access. Yeah, sure, you just need an encryption code. Okay, so I got a few hours to kill. Why don't I just sit here and try a few combinations? Oh, look, I got through.
Speaking about things that should get you much more than a verbal warning.
A gun?
Vince, Wolverine, walks up to Dion and puts a gun to his head and threatens him with a gun. He's just in the office with a gun.
With clear view of everyone looking.
Everybody watches him do that, and nobody... It's not like he's chief of security of the company or something.
No, he's just
he's another developer.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention the fact, Dayon is your golden boy. He is your cash cow employee.
I don't know about you.
So, I don't know about... Yeah, I was just about to say... This company is run by morons. That's all there is to
Let's
it.
Let's just say this. If I walk into the office tomorrow and I put a unloaded real gun to the head of any employee in the company, much less the golden boy, I'm being fired and I'm being arrested.
Yes.
That is still assault, even if the gun is not loaded.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention, this company's stupid for the simple fact your golden boy, who somehow, I don't know, has programmed basic AI and created a robot that functions as a amazing police force, which, by the way, why is the military not buying this instead of the police?
Well, that's because they have the moose. We'll get to that.
Vincent, we've talked about this. We're going to have to put you on written warning for this. There's going to be an action plan.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. You're going to attend a gun safety class. If this happens again, you're going to advance to second written warning. And if you put a gun to another coworker's head again, you're going to be fired, Vincent.
Right. Yeah.
Well, also, just my thought. If this is your best employee, why is he not getting 24/7 security?
Yeah.
Why doesn't security?
Why doesn't he have his own office for that matter? He's sitting in there with the rest of the Jags in a regular cubicle. That's exactly like you said. Okay, this is the guy that made the cash cow.
Well, yeah.
Even if I'm going to find a way to jip him out of pay, I'm protecting that kid. I'm putting him in his own room. Heck, he's going to be in a desk next to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just that. He knows all about these robots. He knows everything. This is the guy. You protect him.
I'm going to jump out of order here, and then we'll jump back into things to rip on. It's one of the criticisms I have of this movie. See, this is another Neil Blomkamp trope about the evil of corporations and how they're only looking out for profit and how the individual will get ground under by the corporation. He's the genius. The corporation is going to steal the genius idea, commercialize it and weaponize it and profit off of it, while the creator and the true visionary gets nothing out of it.
That's not entirely untrue, though.
Yeah. It's not entirely untrue, but even in the corporate oligarchy that is America, he'd have received a fat bonus.
Oh, he'd
have been promoted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'd be in a management job.
He would not be sitting on
the floor.
He wouldn't be living in his own little suburban house unless he did so by choice.
Also, just a comment. If the guy, again, this is the guy who built these things, your golden ticket, comes to you and goes, I think I've cracked AI, an actual true artificial intelligence. Can I test it out? You're not going to say no. You say, here's $1 million. Here we go. We try. Because that is the golden ticket of all. You think you have a golden ticket with this police robot?
Yeah.
True AI would make that company
trillions.
So much money.
I got to say,
this is where he fails.
I don't mind. I don't like Vladimir Putin, but he's dead right when he says the country that develops AI rules the world.
Yes.
If I'm Tetraval and he comes in and says, I did this. Really? Okay. Well, let's go get a robot that doesn't have a program yet. Let's put it in a controlled area. Let's start doing some experiments. Sounds good. When can we get started? No, don't rock the boat. What boat? You're not rocking the boat. You're buying a bigger one.
Right. So Michelle Bradley Ripley,
is stupid.
Is an idiot, and it shows that Neil Blomkamp doesn't really understand what he's writing about. He pretends that he understands the corporate world. Because if someone who was this gifted of a programmer and a developer came to the CEO, was the golden child, and said, and gave the whole spiel he did, let me put this in this robot, it will cost you nothing, this robot has the ability, I can show it art and it can make a judgment on it, I can show it poetry and it can make a judgment, she would not have replied with, do you realize you just came to the CEO of a weapons company to talk about teaching a robot to appreciate poetry? She'd have said, this dumb piece of garbage thinks he only thinks about this technology as to have a robot appreciate poetry and its aesthetic judgment. Yes. She's going to look at it and say, I can weaponize the crap out of this.
Exactly.
Well, good grief. Can you imagine that?
And she's absolutely going to say, yeah, green light this. Let's teach robots to love art. The whole time she's going, hey, moron boy thinks we're teaching the robot to love art.
Yeah.
Let moron boy think we're teaching the robot to love art. Vincent, get over here.
And start
training
the robot.
They're going to militarize this.
Stop your little moosey project.
We got
to... Or we'll greenlight your moose project as long as you actually figure out how to militarize Golden Boy's true synthetic intelligence. Yes,
because now we want to teach these robots that now have true AI to, I don't know, make more intelligent decisions on combat. We can now, instead of selling to police, we have true artificial intelligence. We can sell to every military in the world.
The only way I could have countenanced this, her saying no, is if somehow they then had an ethical discussion about, I don't know if I like this idea. That's the only way I could have countenanced it and said, well, maybe someone would have that opinion.
Maybe, but they didn't bring it up.
Like Vinny has that opinion. I don't trust an AI. Okay, but since they just blow through his point, that is the only way I could have said, this is why she said no. Instead of just the, I'm just blasé, I don't care. Wait a minute. He just explained to you this will cost you nothing. If it fails, you lose nothing.
And they actually blow off Vinny when he actually has a valid point.
You're talking about AI. It's Blomkamp lacking subtlety. He wants to say that it's not about creativity, it's about what they can monetize. But it's my criticism of all of his works. He hits on the surface. He hits the liberal talking points that when you get one of the... It's when you get that 23-year-old liberal college student who's memorized all the talking points. When you question him or her for 2 seconds, he has no clue of the deeper concepts of what he's, arguing about at that point. This is Blomkamp. Like, he says, corporations aren't about creativity and true development of things that can better humanity. Well, they are, but they're going to twist it then into weaponizing and militarizing and profit. And how can we profit from it?
Which would have been a better message because it's like, of course they're going to abuse the creator. And I mean, they'll give him enough to placate him.
The point's right. He's making a point about corporations being all about what they can profit off of. And if they can't profit off it, they're not going to do it. But he hits it with all the subtlety of a 10-year-old instead of actually... There's such a missed opportunity here to have told a more powerful story about a corporation's single-minded pursuit of weaponizing technology or maximizing profits.
The great example of that would be he hit the nail on the head, but he hit the nail on the head with a sledgehammer, so he hit everything else.
He destroyed the table.
Exactly. It's like, you got it. But you also destroyed your point while getting it.
It makes it hard to truly credit everything he's saying when you realize that either he completely doesn't understand how a corporation really works and he's guessing, or he just doesn't want to explore any deeper than the shallow end of the pool on the conversation.
Yeah.
The other thing that bugged me was... I got to get to this. This is my thing. He Elysium'd the ending. And what I mean by that is, so Chappie's there. He's ready to upload the maker's consciousness into another robot. Everything's ready to go. All he has to do is press enter. The bad guys are cutting through the door. And he decides to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and talk about his emotions. Then give a final farewell to the maker. No, dude, press enter, just like Elysium. You could press enter and give help to all these people that need it, and you better do it fast because these guys are about to break in and stop us. And, go ahead, take time, tell your girlfriend you love her. I know, it's important. No! Press enter!
I think this is going to be... Star Trek has the Kirk speech or the Picard speech or the Sisko speech.
Still dumb.
Where, the Kirk speech looks directly at the camera and overacts and over-delivers the message to the audience. The Picard speech looks directly at the camera and quotes philosophy and Shakespeare that the average viewer has no idea what he's talking about and goes and looks it up later. And the Sisko speech looks directly at the camera and punches the viewer in the face while delivering it.
That seems
accurate. This is the Blomkamp speech where it looks directly at the camera and tries to make you cry.
I guess, but
it's true.
You know what I think it is? I think it's, uh-oh, I was contracted to make the film last this long, and I need to eat time.
This
so
film
here
went
we go.
120 minutes. I think Neil just likes to look directly at the camera and speak
try
to the
cry.
Audience.
Make
I think
the audience
it, I
cry.
Think it's also stretching it out, because the fight at the end, which is otherwise pretty good, there's a lot of slow-mo and, you know, people dying and doing their platoon-like death. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. I know you're trying to be artistic and... But
well,
are you just trying to stretch this out to make the movie ending? Why don't you just add a post-credit scene? Just come on, man.
I think we'll agree to disagree on this. I think Blomkamp likes to take that moment at the end of the movie to take the message that he was trying to deliver, encapsulate it into a 30-second speech, and have the main character look directly at the audience and say, this is the point of the movie.
Well,
in case you missed it, here's the dumb show.
I don't know, because the part where he's just like in Elysium, he just wants to say, I love you. It doesn't really make to his point where Chappie's giving his final. It doesn't make to the overall point. I think it's just really a time filler into trying to look deep. But you know what? It doesn't matter what the reason is, because the grand result is it sucks and I hate it.
I can tell you that the point of, and we'll jump back to this again. The reason I say I think that encapsulates what he's trying to say is, if a robot can learn to love, what's our excuse?
Yeah.
If a robot can overcome his conditioning and his upbringing, what is our excuse for saying that our nurture can override our nature?
Yeah,
well, fair enough.
I'm just saying it sucks.
You brought up the big fight scene, which, oh boy, Blomkamp obviously liked RoboCop. Because literally basically went, hey, there's an Ed 209.
And a Cobra gun.
Well, yes, but I'm going to get to that in one sec. But here you go. So we're going to make Ed 209. Except, okay, you're going to make a robot that's bipedal. Okay, I kind of get it with your police model. Kind of. But bipedal is a bad design. But you're going to laden it down with enough weaponry that you can take on a small army. Great idea, though. And you're going to make it so bad. Yay, you have a ton of weapons, but A, you don't have protected lenses. Your weaponry kind of sucks,
that's
honestly.
That's true, they did shoot an eye out, didn't they?
And also, by the way, this super robot has the thinnest armor ever.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, it can stop bullets from an AK, but anything better than that, I mean...
Okay, fine, it can stop a 7-point... Fantastic, you can stop AK rounds. Those are not armor... More than likely, I guarantee you, those guys were not even shooting green tips. Those were regular lead bullets.
Well, God,
if they were shooting actual steel-cased rounds that are cut through armor... I have a feeling that thing would have been feeling it because thing could not take a hit.
Oh, that's because he kept getting his funding cut.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another funny part. The idea that, why are you cutting my funding? Because they're making for a police unit and you want to give them firepower to take on a rival army.
It's good to know in any iteration of any film, the Ed 209 is a piece of garbage.
Yes, it was, which, again, I don't understand that because you could totally sell that to the military. The military would totally buy that weapon system he was building.
There's another thing of Blomkamp not understanding corporations. They would have said, hey, we've got a police robot
and here's some money from
our profitable police robat. We'll sell this one to the military.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, this is the problem. And I think Blomkamp has this issue that he sees the idea of corporations as this zero sum game where he's like, well, they can only make so much money. No, you can make more. You can make more. You can take that, invest it, and make more, and make more, and make more, and make more.
I think it's not just Neil. Remember, sci-fi often goes against a corporation or an overly large oligarchical type.
Well, I agree
government.
With you on that, but a lot of times they do a better job of understanding how businesses make
money. It depends very much on the sci-fi in general. But yeah, Blomkamp is a little bit more... He takes a much more simplistic approach, to be sure. But
I could be wrong, and he can have an MBA. But
he's not using it. Then
he doesn't. He writes his movies in a point where he looks like he does not understand the concept of business whatsoever.
He did a wiki search,
Beyond supply and demand. He might have problems with supply and demand, apparently.
But well, yeah, you're looking at it and it's like, what? This company should be way, way bigger than it is. Because, yeah. A, you're talking about a company that is selling to the police, who are also, by the way, doing the maintenance on these robots that apparently get pretty damaged consistently.
Yeah, so they have a monopoly on them, basically.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would say that the Moose doesn't get made is because they can show the cost benefit it's out of whack.
Right.
It costs so bloody much to make this thing.
You can't sell it.
We're actually going to put us in the hole by doing it.
We're selling it to the military.
I mean, you can only, if it turns into a case where, like you just pointed out, Thomas, the military tries it out and blows it up every time, they're not going to want it.
Well, here's my only thought. And again, in the movie, it doesn't say this, which makes me feel that it's a terrible job.
It sucks because we shouldn't have to do it for the movie.
But my only thought is this company that's making the police robots, they're only making police robots because there is a company in America, there's a company in China, there's a company in Russia making the military robots for that country. Like America has the American Defender class,
something like
super,
that.
You know, military robot. I don't know. But you have that because that's the only way you look at it and go, why is this company not selling to the military? This is the smallest market you can even think of.
Well, it's weird because
you have AI consciously enough to put into these robots.
Yeah. And Vinny says, I worked 2 years in DARPA. So you don't have any contacts that could send your word up the ladder and say, hey, this former employee's got this really great robot you should check out. I mean, it didn't occur to you to call up your buddies in DARPA and say, hey, do you think you could get me a session with the DOD?
Well, not just that, but here's the crazy thing. You're telling me that this guy, who's the golden boy of this company, has somehow broken AI? Really? That makes me think that no one else is working on it because this is the near future, right?
Yeah, well, because he's doing it in his home, like privately. It's like, wait, again, as the company, if I found out my employee was doing that and having success, I'd be like, wait, you bring that in here. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not.
What
saying,
do you need? Whatever
I'm not
you
saying
need,
that.
Man.
My point is, you're telling me that no one else has broken this quote-unquote secret?
So well, it's not believable. It's not believable, but no. I'm going to excuse that one because it's a necessity for the plot.
I get
that.
Right.
Tell the story without it.
It's so passive.
Also, apparently when you create an AI, it comes off as literally a child. That's a point that...
Well, right. that's,
again,
that's
necessary for
that
the story. So let's move into...
The message.
Where these messages come from.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Tommy, wanna play robots?
Okay.
Pew, pew! You'll never win, Psykill!
Psykill? I thought we were playing Transformers. GoBots suck.
They do not!
They do. Transformers talk and they're thinking.
So are the GoBots.
Nah, not the same.
Hey, you two. Knock that off. How would you like to play with real thinking robots?
Yeah!
Then you need Chappie.
Hello, Chappie won't be friend.
Wow, cool!
Chappie can do all the things you like, such as play sports.
Catch the ball, Chappie!
Ow! Sorry, Chappie dropped the ball. Friend hurt Chappie. Not nice.
Play with blocks.
Hey, Chappie, let's make a Lego castle.
Chappie did already. You take so long and Chappie follow directions.
But I wanted to make a different castle.
Play video games.
Hey, Chappie, wanna play MK?
What MK?
Mortal Kombat, it's a fighting game.
Chappie, no like fighting. Maker said no fighting.
Or any other games.
Tag, you're it.
Chappie not like being tagged. You it.
Ah, you're breaking my arm.
Chappie, sorry. Chappie, help.
Ah, you're making it worse.
Chappie. The robot friend that feels. Order now and get a chance to win our next robot, the Moose.
Isn't that just like Ed 209 that can fly?
Yes, but you can control it.
Cool! We can use it to blow up Chappie!
Chappie, no want blown up!
Chappie and the Moose, two great robot toys from Tetraval.
Isn't that the military company?
Order now!
So we clearly have, at the very beginning of this, it's clearly a nature versus nurture discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Chappie is born innocent. He is a blank slate. The movie comes out of its way to tell you Chappie is a blank slate. We have to orient the artificial intelligence, and from its interactions, it will take on your personality.
Oh, it hits you over the head multiple times with that.
And so, at its most basic level, this is the story of a human child is a blank slate when it's born. And it will be influenced and take on the personality of its parents and the crowd that it runs with. So it's a story of a kid who falls in with a bad crowd and does bad things.
Right. This movie clearly states it's nurture and there's nothing to do with nature.
But I disagree with that, because I think at the end, this thing is going to come back and tell you, you have the ability, the ability to overcome your nurture is within everybody. Because Chappie is taught, they're teaching Chappie from the time he's 5 years old how to shoot a gun. Well, they're training him how to be a criminal. They're lying to him. In his adolescence, they're teaching him that he's got to look cool if he wants to be part of the gang.
There's two separate people teaching him, though. You got the gang, and you also have the maker.
But the maker is there for just a short period of time in Chappie's accelerated adolescence.
That's true. Yes. And he has the America Ninja as the father figures, and he wants to please them. And that's why he's saying, I want to be like daddy.
Yes, except remember, you have to realize, I want to be very careful when I'm walking here, but the maker is almost a godlike.
The maker is a godlike figure.
He is, sure.
We're talking about this person created this life here. So it's like, okay, sure. If literally you had God speaking to you, saying something, and then you had your father say something different.
But Thomas, as a Christian, you would know this, that this believing in the Bible, there were people whom God spoke to directly and they still disobeyed. So that's why that one is not a stretch, even for a Christian.
It's not a stretch. For any religion, closely. It's not a stretch. You can have anyone who's struggling to reconcile the tenets of their religion, whatever it is, with the realities of their upbringing and how they have been raised.
Yes.
And Chappie, that's why you have a non-denominational maker who's a stand-in for any God here, not just the Christian God.
Right.
Right.
And Chappie is in a conflict between what his God has told him to do and what his parents are telling him he should be.
Well, and that's why I'm just trying to relate it to what we know, Thomas, because
typically you would think
that would overcome
this
the parents.
Why before I even said it, I spoke and said, this is very carefully how I say this, because yes, we have that issue, but that's what the movie was speaking to. And I definitely say, because you have the maker, which again stands in for all religious heads and leaders.
And
there
he does. And he makes his way back to the maker at the end when he decides to save him. And,
well, there's also a humanist message.
Well, yeah, of course.
There is a humanist message, because he ends up saving his maker.
Right.
He ends up exceeding his maker. And he finds his own path that is in between God and his parents. And he becomes his own power to better himself. But I think that while this, it's definitely saying that how you are nurtured can influence your behavior. Yeah. But in the end, you choose your own path, because Chappie will tell daddy that I can't shoot them. And they have to teach him that if they just stab them, they'll go to sleep.
And he realizes that's not the case when he's going up to that one guard saying, go to sleep. You can sleep now. And the guy's bleeding out and he's realizing this guy's not going to sleep. This is not what I'm doing.
He says, I can't kill. I can't hurt someone.
Yeah.
And Chappie has been mistreated. You know, he first gets, you know, they send him out into the streets, basically
to toughen him up
and to realize that, you know, people, how the real world is, quote unquote. And if he doesn't stand up for himself, people are going to take advantage of him.
And this is where the child comes out, because a child would react the same way. In fact, my wife saw this scene and really felt bad for Chappie. She's like, oh, poor guy, poor robot. And
I said the scene in the van when Vincent shows up and pins him down and cuts his arm off with the angle grinder. I said I felt like my soul was ripped in two.
It was a
heart-wrenching. I don't know if I've ever seen a scene that disturbed me more, because that's a fantastic voice acting job. And the anguish you feel for Chappie in that moment. I don't know how you don't feel for Chappie in that moment. Thomas said he didn't. So I don't want to say, I don't know if you're human if you don't.
Ouch,
if
ouch.
If your toaster was firing fireballs, you wouldn't stop to talk to it.
I felt like I knew where this was going. And I felt like it was trying to do that, because it's like, oh, I know it's a movie. So I'm watching a movie and I know this is where the script is trying to go. Feel, cry over this. This is a touching scene. And I just felt for me, it overdid it. I totally understand where you guys are coming from. Mm-hmm. I just felt it took that one step too far for me. But
so there's another message in here that I see. And so I think we're in agreement. There's definitely a nature versus nurture conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we agree which side the movie comes down on, but there's definitely something there. And there's definitely a hidden humanist angle in this story in my mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then we get to this question that I think is really at the core of all of this. Human beings can be evil in and of themselves. A human being becomes evil.
It doesn't.
And a robot has to be taught. Chappie has to be systematically taught and tricked to act evil.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot, he will not, and he questions it. Chappie questions, why do you human beings do this? Why do you lie? Why do you do this? Why do you hurt people? Why do you do these bad things? With all the conditioning that Chappie had gone through, a human would not still be asking those questions. And I think Blomkamp is asking this question very pointedly and directly, that is evil a uniquely human quality? Is it something that exists only in humanity? And that we wouldn't see in other forms of intelligence. And then is there a question then that is artificial intelligence superior?
Okay, well,
if it can't be taught to be evil like a human being.
I will sort of answer that first part of the question, being that we have observed other species of animals commit murder, commit all sorts of.
We don't know if they're committing murder. Are they hunting for food? That's not murder. A lion chasing down a gazelle is not murder.
I'm talking about chimpanzees killing other chimpanzees out of anger, out of sport, out of fun for killing one another.
Yeah.
That is my example. I'm not talking about a lion. I'm talking about, in this case, a species killing its own species for sport, for fun. There's a difference there.
So, I'll just throw the caveat out here, because I know that the evolution argument is going to meet with mixed acceptance in this room. But it's interesting you chose a chimpanzee, because a lot of people who would tell this story from a humanist perspective would say, well, yeah, it would make sense that a chimpanzee would show that behavior.
Well, I just spoke chimpanzees just because that's what immediately came to mind, but there are other animals that...
Maybe we can say it like this. Is it a biological quality? Is it something that an artificial intelligence just being purely logical could never fully grasp? And would that make an artificial intelligence better than us?
Well, the question then becomes, would artificial intelligence actually have emotions? True emotions? Because is it now... And this is the constant question about artificial intelligence. Is it imitating emotions? Is it actually having emotions? Is it doing the most logical decision process, or is it actually figuring out what should be done logically, emotionally? What's going on? Is it faking emotions? Is it processing? This is the emotion I should be feeling. This is so I shall feel the quote unquote feel this emotion. This is the constant question of AI, and this is why we have quote the Turing test, and even that is like, is that even a good test?
Would pass a Turing test?
Yes, he would. But the question still remains, that's like, well, is that actually intelligence, or is he, you know, representing what he should quote unquote feel?
Well,
and that's the debate that, you know, scientists have constantly with, is the Turing test even a good test? Because it might not actually, you could have something pass it, but still not be true artificial intelligence. And, oh, okay, I should be fair, true consciousness. It would be artificial intelligence, but it wouldn't be consciousness.
You know, this kind of, the first time that I can think of in film that this came up was in 2001 with HAL, when HAL turned against the astronauts. Well, up until that moment, you know, his mission was to protect them, but then he also got the conflicting orders to lie to them about the mission to Jupiter. And so somehow that caused him to freak out. So, but the point is that HAL, despite having AI, did not, I want to say, he didn't have evil in his mind until something happened that was introduced to him. In this case, lie to the crew. And as the book pointed out somewhere, that it, that somehow messed with the programming, the contradictory orders, whatever, messed with him and caused him to turn against the crew. And so, but the idea was HAL was not made with the concept of evil or going against them. Something had to happen to him. And I think that's with Chappie. Something had to be introduced into him to make him that way. Whereas humans, and if you're taking a Judeo-Christian background, you believe that humans are flawed, that humanism is very nice, but we reject the concept that all people are basically good. So, whereas technology is neither basically good nor bad, it just is, even with an AI, it has to be, something has to happen, it has to be taught or shocked to the system make it go evil.
I'm going to bring up a very good point you brought up. The problem with AIs and everything else is that humans will make it. We will make AI. Which means it will have some of us in it.
And what we're trying to do when we make AI is we're not trying to make a true artificial intelligence. We're trying to make an artificial human intelligence.
So it will have, in many opinions, I think, and the artificial intelligence that we will make will have many of our flaws in it.
Yeah, it's going to be a synthetic human brain. So it makes sense to me, and I think the film is clearly coming down on this side, that Chappie does have emotions. That Chappie is what a human brain would look like inside of a synthetic intelligence construct. Yep. And then they definitely come down on this by transferring over Mommy and Dion's brain into a robot. And they basically say, you've lost nothing. Dion is still who he's supposed to be in a robot. So this movie's trying to say that that will happen. So I think they're trying to say that Chappie is what you would get with a true synthetic intelligence that wasn't a transferred human intelligence.
Correct. They're trying to say it. I don't know if that, for me, is believable, but sure.
I will also say, Mark, I know you said, I don't know positive here, but you said humanism believes that, you know, humans are good.
Basically, humans are good.
I don't think humanism is saying that humans are good. What it's saying is that humans are able to accomplish and understand the world on their own, and they don't need to have the world. They don't need to look to a higher power for the structure of the world. We're still bad. Some of us are still bad. Some of us are good. But I think it's more of a, I don't think humanism starts from a perspective of all humans are good. I think they're saying humans are capable of understanding everything in the universe through their own abilities. I think that's more where humanism comes into effect.
I would disagree with you on that, but that's not here or there.
It's another discussion.
I'm looking it up because
my understanding of humanism is more on that level that you can understand the world through science and your own abilities.
I would
looking to a higher
say power. That would be more atheism, but humanism, just I believe I would more go with that humans have more good intentions.
They have to be bad. They have to be taught by stimulus to be evil.
Yeah.
So one of the last things that I noticed here before we get into the last, you know, thing is when we talk more about Chappie, I don't know if this is a message, but it's more just horrifying. Everyone in this movie is using Chappie.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
His parents are using him to pull off a heist. The big boss, whatever his name is.
Hippo.
Hippo wants Chappie to be his personal, you know, assailant, you know, his personal muscle. Dion is using Chappie because he wants Chappie to be good so that he can show how great his artificial intelligence is and how safe it is.
He's also testing.
Vincent wants to use Chappie to show the fallibility. He just wants him for the guard key.
Yeah.
Everybody's using Chappie. And Chappie realizes it at the end, and Chappie still says, I'm going to save these people who used me. And he's okay with it. And it's the only likable character in this movie is really Chappie.
Yeah.
Everyone else in this movie in some way, shape, or form is not likable. Even Dion, who you're supposed to like. Chappie rises above it all. Nobody has Chappie's best interest at heart.
This is actually, nobody. You bringing that up might actually be why I don't like this film so much, because the only character in this film is that you at all kind of go, that's a good character, it's Chappie. Everyone else, I'm like, I hate you, I dislike you, I really don't like you.
I think that's deliberate, because he's trying to make the case that which is worse, the AI machine or humanity?
Well, it's the best human
would be the AI machine.
Yeah, it's basically the humans are the worst monster. I mean, this goes back to supernatural gothic roots of vampires.
I get it.
Vampires don't need to be brutal because humans are their own horrible monster.
Yes, I get it. But again, this is Blomkamp just doing it way too much and just hitting the nail with the sledgehammer.
Yeah, but in this case, this is not the first. He's not the first, nor will he be the last person to make a statement that.
No, he won't. I'm not saying he's the first or the last, but in my opinion, it just hit me over the head too hard.
He's really saying, and I think that's part of it, he's saying the best human in this, the most human thing in this story, just like in District 9, the most human thing in the story was the human becoming an alien. The most human thing, the best human in this story is the robot artificial intelligence. Well, update. Rage Master and I are both correct. Humanism, an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems.
Yeah.
So we're both correct.
Yay.
Then my point is still right. But the point, you know, going back to this man, the greatest man is machine in this case. I'm thinking of Scott, The Measure of a Man. In that one, Data was more likable than the guy who was trying to accuse him of him just being spare parts.
Yeah.
Is that not right?
Well, then he comes to, as he learns more about Data, he shows his own humanity. But yeah, it's very similar.
Initially, that's the case, that the guy that wants to just turn Data into scrap is really just the jerk. He's Corey saying it's a toaster and I don't care.
Right. Data is used throughout Star Trek The Next Generation to show you the best of humanity in the robot who doesn't think he's human.
Yes. And again, I'm not saying this has not been done before. This has totally been done before.
I think it was done, again, though, very, very on the nose, with all lack of subtlety. And the final commentary here within this one, and it's in all of Blancom's stuff, and it's stolen right out of RoboCop.
No, really?
There is a huge risk to handing out contracts to private enterprise for essential services.
Yes.
We've contracted out the police to a business. The business is trying to profit, to make nothing but profit off of it and weaponize it. And then someone who would rather have his product in there sabotages the police force to advance his product, causing chaos. He's essentially telling you, if you let the private sector control the police and you have private policing, you risk corporate espionage, shutting down your police to make them obsolete, to put new police out and force you to buy them. Kind of like Apple slowing down your iPhone with certain updates so you'll buy the next one. They're literally telling you
that
if you privatize the police, the company that owns it may shut them down, so you have to buy the next model.
Well, you know what, though? I'm not entirely in disagreement with that.
That would be a great business model.
I would never want a police to be privatized. We've already seen what happened.
We have already discussed this point multiple times.
I know, but
series.
Here's Global Jerk Company. It'll be like those things on cable.
What's
Global
that?
Jerk Company would like to tell the people in the city of Cleveland that our contract with the city of Cleveland to provide policing runs out at midnight on Thursday. If the city of Cleveland does not renew their contract, there will be no police starting at 12:01 on Thursday. No arrests will be made. We're sorry about this. If you have a problem with this,
call the mayor's office.
City and tell the mayor to re-up the contract and pay whatever we're extorting you for.
Yeah, that's because basically we've already seen what happens here in Ohio when they privatize prisons. So no, thank you. I'm not interested in that, Mr. Kasich, or our new weak-willed governor.
We'd really like to get out there and stop all these criminals ransacking and looting the city, but until we have another contract, we just can't ethically do it because of our fiduciary responsibility to our shareholders.
Yes. Well, this is, again, we've talked about this before, and we all line up on the same point where, yeah, that kind of not a good idea.
Yeah, one of those things that they shouldn't do.
Yeah. And again, he gets the point, but he somehow, again, hits it way too on the nose. And it's just like,
yeah,
Blomkamp, I mean, please get your message out there without hitting me in the face with it.
He's making
that hard.
He's making your standard sci-fi points that are worthy of discussion. But yeah, he does it with the subtlety of the jackhammer. So,
all right. It's that time. Let's rank this movie. How many red Chappie antenna ears do we give this?
That's a bit strange, but okay.
It's always strange.
Fair enough.
I mean, I guess we could go with...
No, Chappie ears are fine.
How many Chappie ears do you give this movie?
Chappie ears.
And then,
fine.
While you're ranking it, a brief commentary on what you think of Neil Blomkamp, if you choose to.
Okay.
I'll start this one. I give this one 6.5 Chappie years out of 10. It's better than Elysium. It's not as good as District 9. This movie is he's re-dipping into the well of District 9, but I give it a 6.5 out of 10 because he is on some level exploring at least one mostly developed concept of the nature of humanity and what makes us who we are. Is it our experiences that make us who we are, or is it some unique individual nature of us? Do we have a soul, and would we be who we are no matter what the situation of our upbringing was? It's a fairly decent exploration of that, but I think this movie starts very, very slow. And if this movie would have started faster and got to the point of Chappie's development faster, then we could have explored this more. I also think Neil has a problem of, you can't see the forest through the trees because he's trying to tell too many stories. Pair back the evil corporation story. Pair back the dangers of selling off essential services to private companies and just tell me a story on nature versus nurture and explore that through Chappie and the nature of artificial intelligence. And then, you know, nature versus nurture. And what does it say about us if the best human in the story is the machine? And I think if you just tell that story and focus more on that instead of trying to make this a Transformers movie while telling a message, then and RoboCop remade and an homage to RoboCop, Tony Romo as a cop. if you just focus more on what you want to tell and tell a tighter, more coherent story, I think it would be a lot better. There was a lot of potential here that Neil needs to focus. And maybe that's part of it being a collaboration with his wife and two writers, and they can't really drill down to what they want to talk about. I think that's also the greater disease in the Blomkamp stories. He doesn't know what he wants to tell. And I think District 9 was his best story because it's mostly an allegory to apartheid. And he knows that. And he knew that pretty well.
Well, it's personalized in that.
And he stayed on point with that. And that's why I think ultimately District 9 is the best of the three. I'm starting to wonder if he really is a one-hit wonder. And I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if this is a burgeoning director who will learn from some of the missteps he made with Chappie and Elysium and take more time in his next creation to really think about the message he wants to deliver and get on point with it. Or if this is a guy who's still going to try to tell a story with 1,500 messages and have them all devolve into a Scott's Deep Meaning segment throughout his entire movie, where you're left going, what in the bleep is this guy talking about? All right, that's it for me.
All right, well, for Chappie, I would give it about 7 antenna. I did enjoy it more than I thought I would. The rippage that we introduced is what bumped it down. Especially in the fact that he really misunderstands how a corporation would abuse this. And that's a missed opportunity, because if you're going to go show corporate abuse, there's better ways to do it. And the way he did it, Sigourney Weaver just looked so aloof the whole time. that it's a wonder that she's in charge of the company. And as for the gangs, they're just kind of shoehorned in. At least Hippo is, and the other just issues. But the fact is, it is a great conversation about AI and personality and soul. It does have a very strong humanist element, and it does hit the checkbox of what sci-fi is all about. So, and the action sequences, for the most part, are pretty fun, especially at the beginning. The beginning action sequences are quite good, and there is a bit... It's sad but funny the way Chappie's hijacking cars because he thinks he's doing it okay for Daddy. I mean, he's told, well, that's my car. That's, you know, stop taking Daddy's car. And he's beating the crap out of this BMW and they have to yell at him. Don't do that. But it's something funny but sad because you realize he's getting used and abused. Much like Johnny Five did in Short Circuit 2 when he was lifting car stereos. Oh my gosh, he also copied our Short Circuit, which is basically this movie.
RoboCop meets Short Circuit meets iRobot.
I guess. Yeah, so,
meets District 9.
But I also like the dystopian future he put forward. I think it's called the Ponte apartment building, how he turned that kind of luxury apartment tower into a den of gang activity and... That's kind of neat what they did there.
This would have been a good movie for Come With Me If You Want to Copy.
Yeah. That would have. Yeah. Now that we think about it. But overall, Neil, I think that he probably will wind up being a one hit wonder unless he turns himself around, which I don't know if he will. I haven't seen much done from him since Chappie. So
he's done nothing since Chappie.
So unless he's cooking up something real good, I don't know. I like the style. I like the look of his films. And I'm sure that without knowing the man, unless he has Rian Johnson or JJ style thin skin, that he would probably take the rippage and at least be thinking, wow, at least they got the points I was trying to make. And that's something. So overall, I think he's pretty good. Could stand to be better. I think he's got potential if he just kind of learn how to hone the subtlety and stop trying to have so many messages like he did in Elysium. And because the leftist lean is not the thing that kills it for me, because sci-fi typically does. I think it's the fact that he goes too much on it and he doesn't know how to make it more applicable or more relatable. It eventually turns into a, okay, but it's still better than episode 8 on that because, well, sci-fi having that is normal. Star Wars does not.
All right. Before I give my rating, question. What did I give Star Crash? Does anyone remember?
Oh my gosh, you're going to relate. You're going to give it less or equal to Star Crash?
I'm going to give it more than Star Crash.
I thought you gave Star Crash a 1 out of 10.
I thought okay. It was 1 or 2.
I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 then.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I did not look forward to rewatching this for this podcast. I did not.
At least you didn't pay for it.
No, I did not. I watched it on Netflix. I'll be honest. I did not like this. The beginning of this film, I enjoyed. The police robots, all that. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And it just kept losing me and losing me. And by the end, it had lost me. And I just did not like it. So I'm sorry. You two enjoyed it. I did not. Sorry. Overall, Blomkamp, he does a good job. I like the style. I like it. He has a good style. But his message hits me in the face too much. I'm sorry. You make a film that if you just dialed the message back just a tad, so it wasn't hitting me in the face so much, and made it just there so I could see the message and I could feel like I am getting somewhere by getting your message without you hitting me in the face with it, I would love it. But because you're hitting me in the face with it, you have ruined it for me, and I can't actually watch the films that you make other than District 9, which, again, I will agree was probably the best out of the three. And actually go, I liked it. I really enjoyed that film enough to go, yes, Chappie, unfortunately for me, you really drop your rating overall as a director with this film.
All right. That is our thoughts on Chappie. Rage Master, what can we look for in March?
Oh, next March is going to be, or this March, whatever, next March. Yeah, it's going to be
lousy smarch weather.
Yeah, it's going to be called Missed It March. Stay tuned for the intro to that. That'll be an interesting topic.
And I am going to try to put out two supplementals for next month. And
wow.
One, ooh. Does toxic fandom exist?
Okay.
Ah. Discussion about toxic fandom, yes, which I think does. With Captain Marvel coming out is a perfect time
thing?
To discuss
no,
toxic
not
fandom.
Not at all.
And maybe toxic performers, but there'll be a conversation about that. And my answer is, it exists. Maybe it's overblown and overblamed for things, but it exists.
Yes.
And maybe some people want to dismiss it and say it doesn't exist. And the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
There's your hint. And then I'm leaning towards trying to put out a supplemental about Star Trek Discovery because I have never given my thoughts about Star Trek Discovery. And I will tell you now, the hint is, I like Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, big surprise there.
Shocker.
A lot of Trekkies don't like Star Trek Discovery because they call it a continuation of Abrams Trek. And while it isn't anything close to resembling the Trek that we've seen before, that doesn't mean it's bad. But at any rate, that's for March.
You should also stay tuned for another. We're reigniting the Rage Master Rips a Clip. So listen to that. And Scott,
lots on tap for the month of March.
That's right. And I got a question, Scott. Are you over on One Fall? Because One Fall, Sickies, if you're into wrestling, One Fall has just been restarted. And I've already listened to the first episode and I got through it. I mean, I enjoyed it. And that's saying a lot because I don't normally do wrestling. And I want to know, are you going to be ever watching and reviewing the movie Fighting With My Family?
It's Fighting With My Family is on tap to be reviewed by One Fall. There is also a new movie coming out on Netflix about Hulk Hogan, where Hulk Hogan will be played by Thor.
Oh, that's amazing.
We're going to talk about that.
Well,
I want to know how he's going to get his skin that shade of burnt hot dog color.
Interesting. But, my other question being, will there be any more Civil War coming up?
Oh, man, that would be awesome. America asunder. You know, if only.
We will see episode 2 in 2020.
Wait, yeah. Isn't episode 2 already out?
No, episode 0 is out, as is episode 1. And I've been thinking long and hard about America asunder, and I just need to get through that episode about the causes of the Civil War because it's tough to write.
How is that just one episode?
That's the problem. It's
like
five episodes.
That's almost impossible. You might have to break that into like three, four episodes.
Yeah, exactly. At least. But nonetheless, Sickies, if a lot coming down the pipeline, and if you like especially wrestling, give One Fall a shot because I was pleased with it.
Not to mention, I've started doing the quick rants again.
Oh, those are good too.
We're ramping everything up here again at Raving Lunatic Media.
As the weather starts thawing out, we are ramping up.
So, that's it for this week. Leave us comments at our website at ravinglunaticmedia.com. Email us at contact@ravinglunaticmedia.com or follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Malady. That's it for this week. Rage Master, what's left for them to do?
Stay sick, sickies.